Okay, today is Wednesday, October 23rd. This is the Women's Chumashir. We're resuming Parshas Vayera. We're up to Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Okay, Rabotai, welcome back. We are up to Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Tet Zayin. It's a good place to be up to because it's something new. If you remember correctly, at the beginning of Parshat Vayera, three people or three angels appear to Avraham, and they have various assignments. And the first one is to inform Avraham and Sarah that they will be blessed with a child, and they do so. The Torah ends that unit by simply telling us that Sarah did not acknowledge that she laughed at the time. And the last words of the text are, Vayomer lo ki tzachacht. You did laugh. That's the end. We don't have any further conversations. Now, the Torah will resume with the three people who came to visit, and they will now proceed to their second mission. They had three assignments. So now we're going to see what their second mission is. But the Torah is going to sidebar before it gets to the mission with a little sidebar, which is our focus today. Says the Torah, Vayakumu misham ha'anashim, the people got up, Vayashkifu al pnei Sodom, they gazed at Sodom, stared at Sodom. VeAvraham holech imam lishalcham, and Avraham went along with them to escort them as they were leaving his tent. The act of chesed, when you have a visitor, is to escort the visitor X amount of distance in order, primarily to make sure that nothing happens to them along the way. So that's what Avraham is doing. Aholeich imam lishalcham. He is escorting them as he will send them away to their next mission. So let's see what Rashi says. Vayashkifu al pnei Sodom. The word hashkafa is found several times in the Torah, and it means to look or to stare. The Torah could have used the word vayabitu. Lehabit means to look. Could have said vayiru, they saw. Hashkafa has a particular connotation, says Rashi. Kol hashkafa shebimikra lira'a. Every single time that the Torah uses the word vayashkifu, it is designed to teach us that they are looking and anticipating something terrible about to happen. Every single time that the Torah uses the word vayashkifu. There is only one exception. That is found in Parshat Ki Tavo, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashkifa mim'on kadshecha min hashamayim, uvarech et amcha et Yisrael. Where after the mitzvah of vidui ma'asrot, where every 3 years a person makes a declaration that they have given all of their tithes for the three previous years. They always gave truma to the Kohen, they always gave Maaser Rishon to the Levi. On the first, second, fourth and fifth years, they took off Maaser Sheni and brought it to Yerushalayim and ate it. On the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, they substituted Maaser Sheni and they gave Maaser Ani, 10% of their produce to the poor. So a person, after he goes through a full cycle of tithes, he makes a declaration. It's called Vidui Ma'asro. It's a confession where you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did everything that I was supposed to do. Very different type of confession. I gave it on time. I did not eat certain things while I was tamei, and so on and so forth. After that declaration, Moshe asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hashkifa. I want you to gaze. Look at Am Yisrael. Uvarech et Amcha et Yisrael. And bless them. In their land, which they're observing all of these Trumot and Ma'asrot. But other than that particular time, whenever it says Vayashkifu, Hashkafa, it always refers to something bad happening. And here, that's exactly what Rashi means. Vayakumu Misham Anashim, Vayashkifu al Pnei Sodom. These three people know fully well that God is planning to destroy the city of Sodom. That's assuming, obviously, that they were angels. And that is part of the proof that indeed that particular interpretation is correct. If they were three individual wayfarers who are just traveling in the desert, how would they know anything about Avraham giving birth to a child? How would they know that God is planning to destroy the city of Sodom? How would they know that? Unless they were prophets. And it's unlikely that these three strangers were indeed prophets. That confirms the fact that at the beginning of the parsha, that Vihine Shlosha Anashim, three people are coming, as Rashi says, they are Malachim. Otherwise, why would they know anything about what God was planning to do? So they gaze, they face their direction at Sodom, and Avram is simply traveling with them, Lishalcham. So, take a look at Rashi. Kol hashkafa shebimikul ara chutz me'ashkifa me'on kachcha. Except for that pasuk that I just told you. Shegadol koach matnaut aniyim. So great is the power of giving the tithes, the gifts, to the poor. Don't forget, to some extent, Kohanim and Leviim are by definition poor. In an agricultural society, if you are not awarded any land, you have no way of earning a living. So the Kohanim and Leviim are dependent upon our gifts to them to make a living. So the koach, the power of matnot aniyim, is so powerful that it can change the intent of the word. That whenever it says lahashkif, it means God is angry, about to administer punishment. But that word, hashkifa, has been converted, shehofech midat rogez lirachamim. It converts the thinking of God being angry, the emotional state of God being angry, whatever that means, to one of compassion and concern, and to bless Am Yisrael instead. Yes?
Why would this definition, why would Rashi choose to find it here and not in Parshas Kisavo?
Well, he does. He mentions it there too. But in fact, Rashi all the time, whenever it says something about hashkafa, Rashi reminds you it's always bad. I don't know why he has to do it several times. That's a little funny about Rashi. Sometimes he makes a comment and he expects you to remember it, you know, every place else, and he's silent. And other times he repeats a particular comment multiple times. It's a little difficult. I don't have a good handle why and when. So it's a good question. And usually he always says this is bad except for that one over there. Yeah.
I have a question about the Kohanim.
Yes.
Aren't they supposed to marry rich women? I don't know.
How can they marry rich women?
Because that way they would. Because they were poor.
Of course, okay, if they could, but can't. Depends if you're, you know, if you're handsome, attractive, intelligent, great ball player. Got to have something to attract rich women. They're not just going to gravitate because you're a kohen. At least not in the theoretical world. In the practical world. Theoretically, maybe yes. Not that I know of. No, not that I know of. In fact, the Gemara actually tells us that their livelihood was dependent on how they interacted with other people. If they were, you know, bulvanim, then okay, I'm not giving my truma to you. I'm giving it to somebody else, and that's also halachically worth money. The decision to give Kohen A versus Kohen B has financial worth to it. It's called Tovat Hana'a, the benefit that you would give to somebody by saying, I'm giving it to him, not to you. Or how much would you pay me to give my truma to you as opposed to somebody else? Yeah, that's what they did. No, there is no Kohanim organization. You go over to them personally. Right?
Why is that?
What?
Why? It's not a gift.
It is a gift. You could have 5,000 pounds of, you know, 100 pounds of truma saved up, and he'll pay you $10 just to award him the gift.
Well, what many of them, I assume, were stationed like in Yerushalayim at temple service.
The only a small group were in Yerushalayim at any given time. Every Kohen worked 2 weeks a year and the 4 weeks of the holiday season. That's it. The rest of the time, they were teachers. They were the teachers in the little in the elementary schools. And that was all over Israel. There was no need to be in Yerushalayim because all of the Kohenim were divided into 24 groups. Each group was assigned 2 weeks a year, and that's it. The rest of the time, they don't come to the Beit HaMikdash.
Even before Yerushalayim, like Shiloh and stuff?
Same thing. Shiloh and Yerushalayim. 2 weeks a year, and that's it. Yeah. Yes?
I'm still not clear on the Kohanim part. As a wife of Kohen, my doorbell would ring, and someone's handing me an egg-sized piece of raw dough.
Yeah. Probably they would save it up for a while. They probably would not come as they were baking challah right this minute, and they took off a little challah and say, "Oh, I'm going to run to the Kohen's house." I would imagine they did it, you know, when they had, you know, what? Yeah, yeah, that's possible. Maybe with the challah, yes, but certainly not with fruits. When the harvest season would come, they would now harvest all of their apples, and 2% of all the apples would go to the Kohen.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say deliberate if I didn't need it?
What?
If I didn't need it, I would...
You can say, give it to somebody else. It's your right, your prerogative. But he has to give it away to somebody.
I have to myself take off through my master.
Of course. And give it to a Kohen.
Give it to someone else.
All right. So as a Kohen family, it depends on what we're talking about. Some of the tithes they're obligated to give to others, some they're exempt. So it's a look. There are 24 things that we give to a Kohen, not just Truma. 24 different gifts that are given to a Kohen.
So if people don't like a certain Kohen, then
they starve.
Right.
That is correct. They starve.
Not a responsibility of anyone else.
Absolutely not. It would be nice. So then the Kohanim amongst themselves, if they see I had a particularly good giving season, and people, and this guy's Nebuch, you know, not doing that. So my obligation of tzedakah would be to feed him. Yeah.
Do they do this just once a year or all through the year?
No, it depends. It's mostly grain and fruits.
So when they're
harvesting the grain, that's one season. When they're harvesting fruits, that's another season. During the winter time, you know, they're starving like everybody else. Because even the homeowners don't have a lot of food during the winter. You have to store it and prepare. So grain can stay. Fruits and vegetables don't stay that long. But you have to prepare. So a Kohen or a Levi has to prepare as well.
Did the wives go out to work?
That was their choice. But what are they going to do in an agricultural society? It's not the, in industrial society. It's a little different. In a agriculture, if you don't have land to work, well, what are you doing? That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And this idea of giving matnot aniyim is something I've spoken about it many times in the shul, that the reason why we can make a mishabeirach for any reason whatsoever, somebody received an aliyah, your husband received an aliyah, so he makes a mishabeirach. What does it say in the mishabeirach? Mishabeirach as avoseinu hu yivarech at such and such and such. Why should God bless you because the Gabbai asked him to? What do you deserve? The answer is, in every single Mishabeirach, it says, Ba'avur Shani Noder Litzdaka. And the same thing when you make a Mishabeirach for a Chole. Yeah. You should not just say, Ba'avur Shani Mitpalel Ba'avuro. Because, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so don't daven. Do me a favor that you're davening for this person. But if you give tzedakah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as Rashi says, takes his roges, his anger, and will send, you know what? I'm going to listen to your request to send a refuah shalema to that person. Obviously, it doesn't always work, but at least the mechanism is, if you give tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more inclined to respond affirmatively, because he knows someone else got helped. So he's willing to play a little game. If you make a deal with any other mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested. I'm going to do it for Shlema. I'm not. You know what? I'm going to light candles Friday night. I'm going to go. I'm going to say Hallel on Yontif. So don't say Hallel. You're doing me any favors? Don't do Hallel. But if you give tzedakah, that, and that's what Rashi means here as well. Gadol koach matnas aniyim. That's always critical. However, Rashi then says, I just mentioned before that in all probability, these three dudes who came to see Avraham and now on their way to stone are angels. Otherwise, how would they know what to be doing? Rashi does an about face based on the word V'Avraham holech imam l'shalcham. Don't look! Tell me why Rashi is going to say they were not angels.
Why would he have to
escort angels? What potential danger do they... They're not in danger. So if the Torah reports that Avram is accompanying them, now look at the Rashi, Kosavur, Avraham was of the impression, or Lilavosa, to escort them. Why? Kosavur Orchimim. He thought they were just three ordinary guests. Ordinary guests. So Rashi, depending on what the situation is, flips around. When he's talking about that they are giving Sarah the information about the baby, oh, they're probably angels. And, it's very strange. And now all of a sudden they're people. Yeah.
And I think that Rashi's assuming that they're angels, but that Avraham just doesn't know that. That's why he's escorting them. Avraham doesn't realize they're angels.
Correct. That is correct. But previously we had seen that Rashi thought that Avraham thought. Yeah, he knew. That he suspected it. Yes. Yes. I have
one here.
That's a good question. You'll have to ask the Rabbi Yishalai. I don't know. I don't ever recall seeing three angels sent at one time. Certainly not in the Chumash. I don't remember such a thing. It's the only time. And it's a good question. Why did he send three people? Just send one to Sodom, one to save Lot, and one to inform Avram. What does he need angels walking around all over the place for? It's good. Very good question. Write it down. Okay. You'll publish that one day. That's all. Good. That's what Rashi says. Take a look now. Take a look at the source sheet, page 1, on the right hand side of the page, Sfarno. Take a look at Svarno. Yes. But that's not in the text. It just says, Malach Elohim Olim V'Yordim Bo, going up and down. So Rashi says, what are they going up and down for? So Rashi says, because the angels who escorted Avram in Eretz Yisrael could not go to Chutz La'aretz. So there were specially designated angels who escort Yaakov in Chutz La'aretz. So that's its Olim V'Yordim Bo. What? Correct. Yeah. Yes. But it's not that they're going anyplace. But according to Rashi, they're there for a purpose. So you need multiple. And it's not that they're both going in both places. That's the difference. The ones in Chutz La'aretz are going only in Chutz La'aretz. The ones in Eretz Yisrael are only going in Eretz Yisrael. So he needed multiple people, because every malach can only do one thing. That's it. So take a look at Svarno, and he says, in the second comment, where he says, Avraham holech. So he makes a statement by saying, connecting Avraham holech imam l'shalcham, and the next two words of the next pasuk, Vashem Omar. What did Hashem say? We'll read that later. Would I hide from Avram that which I'm planning to do with Sodom? I have to tell him in advance. So Svarno comments, Vashem Omar, Hu haya mitasek b'mitzvat gemilut chasadim lilavot et ha'orchim. He was engaged in the mitzvah of chesed, of escorting the angels, the people. And how does God reward him immediately? Vashem Amar Shiyigalelo. God will reveal to him his plan about Sodom, Lima'an Ashe Yitzaveh Et Banav, so that he will now have an opportunity to, number one, pray for the people of Sodom, and inform his children the value of tzedakah u'mishpat, as we'll read in a couple of psukim. Ke'amram zal, schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward for doing one mitzvah is to get to do another mitzvah. So Avram here is engaged in the mitzvah of gemilus chesed, and then later on, he will be involved in the mitzvah of tefillah, of praying on behalf of the people of Sodom. So it's the Torah reports this information and communicates the well-known principle that the ultimate schar that a person will receive for performing mitzvah number one is the opportunity to perform mitzvah number two. And the same thing is Avera Goreres Avera. That if you engage in one transgression, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish you to some extent? Make sure that it puts you in a position to violate another transgression. So that's how Svarno makes the connection between Avraham's walking and the next pasuk, Vahashem Omar. Turn to page number two for a minute. Actually, page number three for a second. The Avraham, I want to look at the Baal HaTurim first. Baal HaTurim. And he writes, Holech imam l'shalcham, milameid shehashchina milave letzadikim. Baal HaTurim does not connect the first two words of the next pasuk, which we just saw in the name of Svarno, Hashem Amar. But what does the Baal HaTurim connect? Only the first word. So now how does the Pasuk read? V'Avraham holeich imam l'shalcham v'Hashem. In other words, who is escorting everybody here? Avraham is escorting the individuals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is escorting Avraham. Because he would never allow Avraham to walk alone on the way back. Because don't forget, you don't walk them all the way to their destination, because you could walk them for hundreds of miles. You're obligated to be melave only 1 mile out of your house. One parsa, which is approximately a mile. So who's now protecting Avraham? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does he come up with this idea? By connecting the word Vahashem, which is the beginning of the first next pasuk, and adding on to the end of the previous pasuk. It's a poetic way. It's not the pshat, because the pasuk ends. When the pasuk ends, you don't connect the next word to that very same phrase. But for drash purposes, that's perfectly okay. Continues the Baal HaTur. Ve'Avraham. That's two psukim later. So hold on for a second.
Just had a circumcision also. Is that why he's getting extra protection?
That's possible. That is possible. Yes. Go to page 2 on the left hand side, Chizkuni. And he says what I mentioned a second ago. Holeich imam l'shalcham, on the left-hand side of the page, Perush Rashi lashon leviya. It means to escort. Kasavur orchem heim. He thought that they were ordinary individuals. V'af, however, kishine'emar lo, shov ashuv elecha ka'et chaya ulisara bein, when they said, we will return to you in another year, and lo and behold, what's going to happen? Sarah will have a child. What was running through Avraham's mind at that time? Kasav Hashu Navi. He thought he was a prophet. Umidaber bishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That he was talking in the name of God. Didn't necessarily think he was an angel, but he thought it was a Navi. So at least if he was a Navi, not just an ordinary traveler, I can understand a Navi, also you should escort, he's a human being. But there is some tension as to what's running through Avraham's mind, especially when they tell him, we're coming back next year. What do you mean you're coming back next year? And Sarah's going to have a child. He must have suspected that this has got to be an angel or at least a Navi. At least a Navi. And that here, however, he thinks they're ordinary people, and that's why they require Leviya. That's why they require Leviya. Yeah. Okay, so let's continue. Vashem Amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hamichase ani me Avraham asher ani oseh. Am I going to withhold information from Avraham of that which I plan on doing unto Sado? So let's take a look at Rashi. Hamichase ani bitmiya. Rashi, bitmiya means question mark. Don't read it as a sentence, because otherwise it'll make no sense. Hamichase ani me Avraham. It has to be a question mark. Would I withhold information about what I'm planning to do to the Sodom? Asher ani oseh b'Sodom? Lo yafeh li la'asot davar zeh shelo midato. It's not right for me, says God, to punish Sodom without first informing Avraham. Why? Ani nasati lo ta'aretz hazot. I promised him and gave him this land. V'chamisha krachin halalu shelohein. and five major metropolises were given to Avraham. And he quotes the pasuk previously, Shine Emar, Givul Hakna'ani Meit Sidon, Boacha Sidoma Va'amora. The boundary of Kana'ani from the city of Sidon is on its way to Sidon and Amora. And then Karasi Oso Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim. Two things. Number one, Sodom and Amora are considered part of the border of Kanaani, and Kanaani is one of the initially 10 nations that he planned to give to Abraham. He eventually only gave 7. We lost 3 of them because of the chait of the Miraglim, says the Ramban, and Liyamot HaMashiach, we will take captive of the other 3, which are Lebanon today, Syria, and I forgot who else. What? Iraq. Very possible. Yes. So that's number one. From a land perspective, he deserves to know what's happening to his land. And then from a people perspective, he has been renamed from Avram to Avraham. And the text tells us, Av Hamon Goyim. He's considered the father of multiple nations. And that includes the rotten people of Sodom. Av Hamon Goyim. V'ashmir et habanim. And I, God, will destroy these children. V'lodia le'av shu'ohavai. And I'm not going to inform what? The father of these people, who is my confidant, who I love so much. That doesn't seem terribly appropriate, says Rashi. Doesn't it feel appropriate? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to inform Avraham in advance. Now, Now, is this logic consistent? Do we find that, is it only Avraham who is identified as a father? Would this same logic apply to Yitzchak or to Yaakov, perhaps to Moshe? That when God is about to punish somebody, he lets his confidant know in advance. So Moshe, he always does that. Whenever he's about to do anything to the Egyptians, he tells them in advance. And in fact, Moshe is the instrument to bring it about, but he certainly gets some fair warning in advance. Do we find any such thing by Yitzchak or Yaakov? Not really. That God comes and says, you know, there's going to be a terrible tragedy here, and I want you to know about it. Maybe you can pray on their behalf. We don't find that. So perhaps it's only limited to Avram, because he is identified as their father. Yitzchak is not necessarily the father of all the nations of the world. Yaakov is the father of 13 children. Not every nation of the world. But Avraham, by virtue of his name, Av Hamon Goyim, does earn the title that he is now going to be considered worthy to let him know in advance what's going to happen. Okay, so that Noah was warned, 100% was warned. That is correct. That is correct. Yes? Correct.
Wish to provide them with the chance to undo the...
That is correct. And in fact, the Midrash is highly critical of Noach because he didn't do it. That's why it's Yesh Shidor Shimoso Lignai. When they say Noach was Tzadik Bidorotav, it's in his generation, he was a tzaddik. But if you compare him to Avram or to Moshe, who prayed on behalf of those who are about to be destroyed, Noach comes up very, very short. But it's a good point. Good point. Yeah. Now, if you follow the text itself, if this is running through God's mind, the next pasuk should have been pasuk chaf. Pasuk chaf. What does it say in pasuk chaf? Exactly what he's going to tell. What he's going to tell Avram. Vayomer Hashem, Zaakat Sidom va'amora ki raba, v'chatasam ki chavda me'od. And then he tells him, I'm going to go destroy them. And Avram responds, how are you going to destroy all of Sodom if there's any tzaddikim there whatsoever? But between our pasuk, where God says, will I withhold from Avraham this plan of mine? All of a sudden, in between, there is something else. Like an editor's comment. The editor is, of course, God. But it's an editorial comment not related to what's happening. What does the editorial comment say? The Avraham hayo yihyeh legoy gadol ve'atzum v'nivruchu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. Avraham is going to be a great nation. All the nations of the world are going to bless by using his name. So this troubled virtually everybody, as well as the Midrash. As well as the Midrash. So we'll start with Rashi in this editorial remark. The Avraham Hayo Yehiyeh, Midrash Agada, the Medrash says, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. If you mention a tzaddik's name, what are you supposed to do? Say something praiseworthy about him. That's what it means. Zatzal. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Mention something of a blessing concerning that individual. Well, I just mentioned that Avraham is escorting these three people. Oh, I mentioned Avraham, then I got to say something good about him. Well, some blessing. What is the blessing? Hayo yihyeh lego gadol atzum v'rav. He's going to be a great nation. That's what Rashi says. Ho'il v'hizkiro bercho. Since I mentioned his name, therefore you're supposed to recite a blessing about him. And it's the same thing about a Rasha. Shame Rishaim. When you mention a Rasha's name, Yeira Kev, says the pasuk, you should throw bananas at him. It means, you know, let him rot. Curse him to the point where he rots away into nothing. That's the simple pshat. That's the medrash rather. Upshuto v'chimimenu anima alim. You think would it be right for me to hide from Avram what I'm planning on doing? Harehu chaviv lefonai. He is as precious to me, lihiyot legoy gadol, as if he were what? A great nation. That's why I want to tell him. Because he's so significant, it would be as if he already was a great nation. It's not that he's being blessed. It's an explanation as to why God feels so close to Avram that he feels compelled to share with him what is about to unfold in the city of Sodom. In the city of Sodom. So those are the two interpretations of Rashi. However, yeah, that's going to be another thing. Yes, he wanted to trigger prayer on behalf of Avraham. Yes. Take a look at now page 2. And the Ramban, on the right-hand side of the page, he offers two interpretations on the word Amar. What would the word Amar mean, or Al-Pi Pshat? Saying, and you have to ask the next question. To whom? Who's he talking to? Vashem Amar, to whom? So, even if it's only an editorial remark, You know, who's he talking to? Says the Ramban, El Tziva HaShamayim HaOmdim Alav. God has lots of servants up there. So he turned to some of his angels and he said, Avraham, you know what? Hashem Amar. You know what, guys? Avraham Haya Yelish. He's worthy of being spoken to because he's the equivalent of a great nation. Oh, alternatively, El Hamalachim Hashluchim. Or God is telling this to whom? To the three angels who he sent, who Avraham is currently escorting. God spoke to them. V'yitachein, third interpretation, Shehu HaMachshava. V'Hashem Amar doesn't mean he was saying anything aloud. What does it mean? He's saying it. He's thinking. Exactly. Ki chashav shelo yitkasem mimenu mipnei hatamim halalu. He thought that he would not hide the information based on the fact that he was hayoyo lalaish and so on and so forth. So either it means he's speaking to the angels, or he's speaking to the angels right here, or, which is probably the correct, closest shot, is that God was thinking, contemplating, and therefore, and so don't get hysterical when it says Vashem Amar. Page 3, the Balaturim again. Yes. Correct.
I hear that, but that's a read that we didn't see.
I don't know if anybody says that, that it's mentioned here because he's contrasting to what Avram does and therefore doesn't deserve to be destroyed, as opposed to what Avram does, and I want him to pray. Well, it's a good point. It's a good point. Interesting. It's a good point. So take a look at the Balaturim. The Avraham. This is part of the style of the Balaturim. Without a Barilan or Sepharia, he knew that there are only three psukim in the all of the Torah that begin with the word Va'avraham. And that's the start of that's the Baal Tum. He will tell you, we've seen a couple of these before, Shnayim B'mikra, that in all of Tanakh, these are the only two times that this word appears in Tanakh. That's one of his specialties, and he what his drash then is, to connect all of the times that this word is used in Tanakh, there's got to be a theme emerging from them. So he writes, Gimel Rosh Pasuk. There are three times when the word Avraham is used in the beginning of a pasuk. Here, V'Avraham Haya Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol. Two, V'Avraham V'Sarav Zikenim. Three, V'Avraham Zakein. V'Avraham Zakein. So, and he writes, Perush, here is the connection. Af al pi sha'Avraham v'Sarah zikenim, even though Avraham and Sarah already very old, those were we found earlier in the parsha was pasuk yud aleph, and it will be repeated later on in chapter 24 after Sarah dies. The Torah tells us once again v'Avraham zaken ba'bayamim. Nonetheless, Avraham Hoyo yiyeh legoy gadol. Even though he is very low, it continues now on page 4. On page 4, haya yiyeh legoy perush bein haya yiyeh legoy tehave ben kuf shana. He was 100 years old when he had the first child. And he's not only going to what? Give birth to one child. He's going to give birth to many, many children. Many, many children. So the idea of all three times where Avraham is used at the beginning of a pasuk is to tell you. In two of the psukim, they tell us Avraham is an altiid. An altiid. First he was 100, and then he was 137 after Sarah died. And nonetheless, he has keturah and has six more children from keturah at age 137. So if you want to know, Haya Yihyeh L'Goy Gadol Atzum, a powerful nation, it's despite the fact that he's an old timer. That's the connection between all three times where the pasuk begins with Avraham. To highlight that this is not some spring chicken who's going to be giving birth to Goy Gadol Asum, but rather it was Avraham at 100 plus 137 after Sarah dies. After Sarah dies. Take a look then at the Ramban.
Page 2.
On page 4. That was the Bala Turin. It's actually, the Ramban says it twice. Okay, look at on page 4, in the second line, last word of the first line. Lochein lo achasem mimenu, ki yomru hadorot habaim, eich kisa mimenu. How or why did God decide to keep it from Avraham? And here's the clincher. O eich nit achzar hatzadik al shcheinav hachonim alav velo richein velo hitpalel alehem klal. Why does God tell Avraham, says the Ramban in his second interpretation? Not because Avraham is such a good guy in God's eyes. It's to prevent criticism of the entire world. If Avraham is such an ethical, moral, caring person, how could he have allowed God to what? To destroy Sodom and not say a bloody word about it? Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him that it's going to come, how is he supposed to know about it? By the time God visits the punishment, it's a little too late. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares this with Avraham, not because of his intrinsic worth, but rather to ward off any potential criticism that might come about against Avraham for failing to petition the peoples. Right. That's an argument that, you know, others have used as well. Yeah.
Isn't an argument you could use as well against Hashem to destroying all nations when they don't behave?
What do you mean? He's got a reason for doing it. There's no doubt. But the question is, why did he have to tell Avraham? Because all of the nations of the world are going to come with a criticism.
Don't they come with a criticism anyway?
No, they come with criticism against God,
yes.
Not against Avraham.
No.
Here he's protecting against the criticism of Avraham. Why didn't he do anything on their behalf? Yes, yes, that Avraham would petition God on their behalf. And if he had not known about it, there would be criticism heaped upon him, you know, without any reason for it. Without any reason for it. Yeah. Take a look at page 6 for a minute. two midrashic statements. Commenting on the pasuk that we recited for 9 days, Hashem Zecharonu Yevarech. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha Omar, Rav Huna in the name of Acha said, Ein li eloshishim ribo. I only know that God will bless all of Am Yisrael. Because the next phrase is Yevarech et Beit Yisrael. Minayin shekol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael. Shahakadosh Baruch Hu Mazkir Shemo Umivarcho. How do I know that God will bless anyone whose name He happens to mention? Shine Emar Vashem Amar Hamechase Ani Me Avraham Asher Ani Oseh VaAvraham Hayo Legoy Agadol Atzurah. Lo hayatzirich kra lemeimar, the pasuk should have said Ella vayomer Hashem zakat sedom v'amaraki rabba. He should have got right to God's point. These people in Sodom are terrible. I'm going to destroy them. Ella amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu hiskarti es hatzadik ve'eni mevarcho. I mention Avraham the tzaddik. Am I not what going to bless him? Therefore, it says v'Avraham ayah yel goy gadol. But the interesting thing is, that's what in Tehillim we say, Hashem Zecharonu Yivarech. If God remembers us, then what does He have to do? He has to bless us. So if we, in the previous paragraph, it says, Loma Yomru Hagoyim Ayeno Elohehem, and therefore Yisrael Betach Bashem Ezramu Meginamhu. So if God remembers and mentions that Am Yisrael have trust in Him, what does He automatically have to do? He has to be Yivarech at Beis Yisrael. Ask the Medrash, that's only when you have 600,000 people. Shishim Rebo. Rebo is 10,000. 60 times that is 600,000. That's all of Am Yisrael. How do I know that God plans on doing that for an individual? Therefore He quotes our Pasuk right here. And then on page 7, another interesting Medrash. Avram Hayo Yihyeh. Rabbi Tanchum B'Shem Rabbi Berechia. Bisro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu informed him, She'ein ha'olam chaser mishloshim tzadikim ke'Avraham. God informed Avraham that from here on in, there will always be 30 righteous people in every single generation. How does he know that? Because the gematria of Hayo Yihyeh is 30, says the Medrash. Now, what does this mean? We always talk about the Lamed Vavniks, that there were 36 hidden tzaddikim.
Yes.
That people, you know, it's documented all over the place. In Midrashic lore, Zohar talks about it. Here the Medrash says, it's not 36, it's 30. 30 tzaddikim who will ultimately guarantee that the world will always survive. There will be tragedies brought upon a variety of nations, but not the whole world is not going to suffer. Impossible that the whole world will suffer based on these 30 tzaddikim. It would be nice if the Medrash would tell us, give me one example. You know, give me one generation where there are 30 tzaddikim. Can you please identify who those 30 tzaddikim happened to be when we know it was a typically rotten time? You know, I can think of times during the first Beit HaMikdash when you had a Navi screaming his head off against Am Yisrael who are worshipping idols every 2 minutes. You know, who were those 30 people who were around to spare Am Yisrael at that particular time? I'm not sure, but I just bring it to you, just to end with a Midrashic note, because they make this Hayo Yihyeh as Gematria. So if you're into Gematrias, You can have a lot of fun with that. He doesn't say that either. He doesn't say that they're necessarily Jewish. That is correct. Doesn't say that. All right, we'll stop here. Hopefully the rest of the world will come next week.